You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee Church, visit vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now here's this week's message.
So we're going to continue a series on Ephesians today. And we kind of been going through the whole book. And if you remember it all, like there was like two prayers in like chapter one, there was a prayer. And it was very sort of flowery and theoretical. And then we had another prayer, it's actually in chapter 3, which was a little bit more meaty. And then actually what's great about this, from this point on, from last week till the end of the Ephesians, the book gets really practical, like super, super practical. And so we're going to continue to look into that. And so today's talk is just really a practical one, okay? So all human beings were designed to want to have a life that has meaning. And that meaning somehow typically attaches to like other people. And you don't have to like talk people into this. We like naturally do this. Do you know, so like, for example, like when you were a kid, right? What kind of group were you in when you were a kid, right? Everyone was in one, right? You remember, flashback, where were you in those middle school, teenage years? For some of us, that's a hard look, you know? I'm a child of the 80s, so like I pegged my pants, you know, my peg leg pants. You got to roll them up a certain way, and my hair was feathered, and like the girls were, they had their hair done in a way where they teased it out, and it like looked like there was an animal, like, coming out of the top of their head, you know? And that sort of signified like what group you were part of. Maybe you're a child of the 90s and you had like large baggy pants and flannel shirts and you smelled like Teen Spirit. You know, I don't know. But I guarantee you, you immediately think of what group you identified with. And effectively, it's kind of like you had a uniform, right? It's a way of saying to the world, these are my people. And you can spot them in the mall and the grocery store, like these are who I belong to, right? And there are some that have not gotten out of that uniform. You're still wearing those same thing. Maybe there's no one here teasing their hair quite like that. But it becomes like your identity. It becomes your identity. Like the school cafeteria, where am I going to sit? Which group am I going to be part of? Who do I belong to? And so like we have this desperate need to feel that we are connected in some way, to connect to something larger than ourselves by way of like a group thing, right? So we still do this today. We have uniforms of sorts even today, like lawyers wear suits, you know, nurses wear scrubs, you know, hipsters, you know, they wear their hipster uniform. They wear dark glasses and beanie hats and they have beards and they live in Bayview and they think they're unique. And yes, I want to be a hipster, okay? Like, a true confession, like, I think it would be cool to be a hipster, you know? I don't know. My son makes fun of me. He's like, Dad, you're just trying to be a hipster. And the truth is, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being a hipster? Don't answer that. I took a long pause. Don't answer that. So, but this happens in every generation, right? We try to look a certain way to fit a certain group. It's inherent to what it means to be human. It isn't just in the uniforms we wear, which we all do. We all wear some type of uniform. But this doesn't just happen in fashion or in style. You connect to bands, don't you? To music. You connect to music forms or hobbies or activities, and there are people groups that are connected to those things too. And I just learned this term literally this week called parasocial. Has anyone ever heard about this? We had Fellas Table last week, and we had a great conversation. I planned nothing, and we had a great conversation, and I learned this term, parasocial. I'm going to read to you what it means. Parasocial relationships are one-sided relationships where one person extends emotional energy, interest, and time, and the other party, the persona, is completely unaware of the other's existence. Like, this is like a thing. Like, this is a group of people that you become connected to. So, for example, a lot of this happens like with sports teams and things like that, but this is, we were in the context of what we were talking about at Fellas Tables, we were talking about gamers. And I've got a slide. Now, true confession, I don't know what game. This is Warcraft. Camo's like, wait, what's going on? I got here late. I'm missing something. This game is called Warcraft. I don't know anything about Warcraft, so I'm not trying to be cool. I know nothing about it. But we talked. So what's going on here? If you look at this picture, you have a video game happening. Okay? Yeah, see, you're asking me questions I don't know. You have a video game happening here. And if you look at the bottom left-hand corner, there's like a dude in the bottom left-hand corner. He's playing the video game. And then there's a camera on him, right? And you don't see it because it's not on the screen, but then there's this little chat window where people are talking, like typing out like what they're seeing, what they're interacting with. And then there's people like you and I, we're just watching all of this happen. Is this new to anybody? Is this, yeah. Who is this not new for? Yeah, right. Okay, you people got problems. No, I'm just kidding. So this is a whole like community group, a parasocial relationship where you're not really connected with the person playing the game other than you're watching them play it and hearing them talk about it. And maybe if you say something in the chat that catches their eye, they may reply to you or not. And if they do, you're like super psyched, like I'm famous. And you're not even playing the game, you're just watching the game. And when I talk to gamers, they're like, hey, listen, well, we learn some tricks and some hidden things and how to get past certain things. And so there's, I guess there's an educational component, but like there's this connectivity that's happening, right? Sort of. But we connect to different groups in sports. We connect in sports. We connect in gaming. We connect in all these different types of things. I find this a lot in sports, actually. Like, if you know me at all, I'm like a huge Patriots fan. Yeah, I know. I'm used to it. It's okay. You can boo me. It's all right. All we do is win. So I've had nothing to watch this weekend because we're off, you know. So it's like, oh, what am I going to do? So that's why we do family movie night this Sunday, because I don't have anything going on. However, you know, I am rooting for like a Packer-Patriots Super Bowl to happen someday, if you guys can ever get your act together. Yeah, okay. But that's a long time ago. None of you saw it. None of you saw it. I'm rooting for that, and man, there's a hostile audience today. I've watched your heartbreak since I moved here, right? I've been to Puddler's Hall watching a Packer playoff game and they lose and the room is crowded and people are in tears and some things were thrown and people walk out, and then I'm there to watch the Patriots game after, and like everyone's gone, it's just me. But I've watched you in your tears, and I feel for you. And the truth is that we're both a fan base that is a little sick, to be honest with you. Like I'm gonna really unfold some things for you. Like I've grown in Jesus. I'm a new man, but there was a time. Not that long ago, actually, where like a Patriots game would be on or a Red Sox game. I'm also a huge Red Sox game, Red Sox fan. So I would have to have like a certain shirt that I have to wear, right? You know, I have to have a certain shirt. I have a regular season shirt, and then I have a playoff shirt that I wear. And truth be told, like in the playoffs, like, I didn't wash it. Yes, I'm a grown man. I didn't wash it, and I would have to wear that shirt for the playoff games, and then I had to sit in a certain seat in my house and drink from a certain cup. And I know some of you are looking at me, and so half in the room are like, this dude is sick. Like, why is he our pastor? And the other half of the room is going, you know, I kind of do the same thing. It's just mine is like, I have like a green and gold chair that I have to sit in. And I have a Packer koozie with my favorite beverage in. Like, you all do, I know you. You do the same stuff, right? You do the same stuff. And the truth is, if you just poke a little beyond the surface, it's pretty weird. If you can remove yourself for just a second, Like, it's a pretty weird thing that we do. And I don't know about you, but like, I even get even stranger where I'm like, I feel like those things that I just mentioned, if I don't do them, like, it affects the game. Oh, that's so sick. Like, it affects the game. Like, if that shirt got washed, it's it. Season's over. We're losing the next week. We're losing, right? That's not right. I'm not endorsing that, okay? In no way are you actually a participant when you're a fan. There's no way. You're not a participant when you're a fan. In my experience of the Patriots, it would be a lot different if I actually went and put a helmet on and pads and went onto the field. My experience would be very different. I would probably die within three plays. Like, every bone in my body would probably break if I actually did that. I mean, if you today got out of your chairs and you put on your favorite, you know, or you're sitting, you're watching the game, you got your favorite green and gold chair, your koozie and everything else, and you say, you know what? They need me. They need me. I know they're undefeated, but they need me, right? And you go up to Lambeau and you put on the pads and the helmet and you walk out in the field. I'm pretty sure your bones would break as well. Like, you would maybe survive three plays. Like, these are massive human beings that would, like, crush you. Chad may have a chance to surviving three plays. But the rest of us, there's no way. There's no way. You see, when you move from a fan to a participant, like, everything changes. Everything changes. When your team might not be succeeding and you're not just a fan, everything changes. When you stop watching people play the game and you enter into it, everything changes. When you step on the field, everything changes. It's a different way of experiencing meaning and connection. Paul's basic argument in Ephesians 4 that we're going to look at today is one that we find consistent throughout the New Testament. And it's simply this. If you want to find real meaning in your life with God, you must move from a fan to being on a team that God has placed you with people to use your gifts for the sake of how God wants to share and shape this thing called the local church and live it out. There's a research group called Lifeway, and they do massive surveys with churches, and they go all over the world, and they research on not what makes for a healthy church, but what makes for a person in a church. What makes it so they thrive, that they find that church can be meaningful for them. And so in this survey, there's like two things that sort of bubbled up to the top. And the first one was this in their research, that your closest friends are in the life of the church that you're part of, that you have friendships inside a community of a local church. The second thing that they found is that for you to be a healthy person in a church is that you know your gifts and you're using them accordingly in that local church. The research showed that if those two things exist, you have a meaningful expression and experience within a local church. You move from just cheering for a team to being on a team. And if you don't do that in this context, you're just basically a spectator and consumer of religious goods. You'll just find somebody you can just cheer for. You'll never experience what it is truly to be a part of a family. So let's look at Ephesians 4. Let's just sort of break down the text today. I'm just going to read it for you. But before I do, let me just open up in prayer. Lord, would you just move in this message? Would you speak? Would you put power behind these words? And may it be relevant for all of us. We ask this in your name. Amen. So we're going to look at Ephesians 4, and we're going to start with verse 7. Yeah. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descends is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is pretty important stuff. And we become who we're supposed to be, what the Church of Jesus Christ has always been intended to be, as each part does its work, period. Now, there's so many interesting things in this text that we could dive into in this passage, and of course, we can never really do it justice in just this little 30-minute time. But interesting, in the very beginning of this text, there's a little piece of theology that Paul talks about, and he makes an argument that Jesus is like a conquering king that goes out into the middle of a war and wins his battle, brings them back into the family, and then divides the spoils amongst his family, basically. And that's literally the picture that Paul is painting. You know, kind of like the Americans who went into, during World War II, they went in and they started conquering different parts of Europe and pieces of South Asia, and they would free captives, right, so they could go back to their families. And this is exactly the picture that he's saying, that Paul is saying here. He's saying Jesus died on the cross. He took all the devil and evil on into his body, right? And it looked like he was going to lose, but he rose from the grave. He ascended to the highest heavens, victorious. And now he forms himself a family, and he gives that family gifts, and so that we join the efforts into making things all new. And it's a really powerful picture. To know and follow Jesus is not just an individual belief scheme, but that you've joined a family to be part of what God wants to do to transform and change the world. You see this all over the New Testament. There's no place anywhere someone believes and has their own little secret private faith. It's just not there. It's always connected to the people of God. And he says, that's why you have gifts. That's why you have gifts. Like, for example, the other team I'm a real fan of, that you're not going to like that either, is the Ohio State Buckeyes. Yeah, I was waiting. I paused. Indifferent, whatever. But they have a marching band, and it's amazing. It's an amazing marching band. And it would be like, I'm a tuba player in that marching band, but I'm the only one in the marching band. It's just the tuba. It wouldn't be a marching band, right? It wouldn't make sense if I came marching out into the field and it was just me, right? I can't do it solo. I need a band. It has to be a group of people. And that's what Paul's saying is, you can't do this faith thing by yourself. You've been given gifts to connect with other people, to give to other people in this community. And me just taking my gift of playing the tuba and doing it solo just doesn't make sense if I'm in a marching band. Right? We can't do it alone. You've been given gifts. Everyone's been given gifts. And there's some parallel texts that you can look at later if you'd like. In Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, they're kind of parallel texts with this Ephesians 4. And they spell out the different kind of gifts, right? So, and how they work together. Paul's basic argument is this. A hand, not part of the body, is gross. Right? I mean, think about it. I mean, seriously, you don't need to be a genius to understand this, right? If you're walking out to your car today, and you get to your car, and there's a hand on by your door, and a disembodied hand, yeah, it's just there. You know something went terribly wrong here, right? Right? You go in your garage and you find a foot, not. You're nervous, right? You're in the grocery store and there's an eyeball that rolls down the aisle. Like, something is going on here. It's like, call CSI. Like, this is not right, right? It's not right. It's not connected. There's something wrong. It means this isn't complicated. Paul's saying the body of Christ, each person has been designed to be part of a whole. Part of a whole. And if that part isn't functioning within the whole, something is horribly wrong. So people ask me all the time, like, man, what's wrong with the church? Church is a mess, you know? Why does the church, like, do what it's, why does it do what it does, and why doesn't it do what it's supposed to do? And, well, it's because, like, we're an assortment of body parts rolling around, you know? It looks like there's a massacre that's happened in the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's not functioning as a body, right? I wonder if there was a place where I could, like, I don't know, that would show me what's wrong with the church. Like, if only there was some place where I could openly express my thoughts and opinions about the church without consequence or accountability. Like, somewhere I could be a great critic, you know, that people would, like, comment, maybe, like, repeat what I said, right? Do you know where I'm going with this, right? We could be great critics and what would you say? Online forums. I was thinking more like Facebook, Twitter, yeah. We can go to Facebook, Twitter, and we can be great critics about the church. You can find everything you need to know that's wrong with the church by just going on there, right? It's easy to be a critic. It takes more work to move from being a critic or a fan to being on a team, to being part of the body, to function each part according to its work that we might grow up. He says, and attain the fullness of maturity of what it is to be the people of God. It's not hard to yell at the player on TV or the coach on TV. It's not hard to be the tough guy behind the computer saying all these things about what's going on. It's hard to put on the pads and the helmet and join the team or get in the game. This is where life is lived as a follower of Jesus. This is where hope is experienced. And here's sort of the good news and bad news is it's a mess. People are a mess. Look, you all are a mess. I mean, I'm not. But you, no, I'm just kidding. I am a mess. We are all a mess. And Paul's basic argument is grace is worked out with humans, with each other, choosing to love and serve and bring what they have for the sake of a God who wants us to be together. God wants us to be together. You know, to have all of your gifts and live them in a way that is meaningful in the life of God. So the basic question for today, one of the basic questions for today is, Vineyard Milwaukee Church, do you know your gifts? Do you know what your gifts are? Do you know how you are uniquely wired? Have you figured out how to operate in those gifts within the context of church, of this community? So I'm going to try an experiment. The teachers in the room are not going to, they're going to be like, oh, this is a big mistake. If you have a phone, which some of you are on it now, and that's okay, pull it out. Let me see the phone. Some of you cut me off like 5 minutes ago, and you said, I'm going to check my Twitter account and see what people are talking about church. What I want you to do is, if you're concerned about data, things like that, you can connect to our Wi-Fi Vineyard Milwaukee guest. Password is community, right? I think it's community. That's a good one. If it isn't, it should be community. And so here's what I'm this is a risky thing I'm doing. I want you to go to where you download your apps on wherever you have iPhone or Android, whatever. And I want you to download an app called the Spiritual Gifts Test. It's by Lifestyle. And I'm going to allow you to do that right now in church. Some of you will like download it and you'll start taking the survey now, and that's okay. I forgive you. You can do that if you want. Now, as you're downloading that, and I know some of you are like, man, I know some of you are picky about what screens, you know, like is it on the front screen or the third screen? Figure all that later. You can even delete the app later if you want. I'm okay with that. The reason why I'm asking you to download the free app is this. It's basically a spiritual gifts test. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, you don't know what your gifts are, this is a great starting point, okay? It's a great starting point. I want to make sure I'm really clear about that. Like, it is a great little assessment to go through. You know, true disclaimer, it's not the end all, you know what I'm saying? It'll help you figure out what some of your gifts are and give a springboard into other things. And, you're not going to discover everything through the app. It's not the perfect thing. Okay. But I want to encourage you to actually go ahead and fill out those questions. And it gives you a starting point. What are actually my gifts? What are my gifts? And it helps start that process. At least gives you some handholds as you go down this journey, okay, to work out what your gifts are. And then what you have to do is once you figure out what your gifts are is how do I try them on? Like, how do I try this on? Like, I think this thing says I have the gift. Let me try this gift. Let me try that on. Let me see if that really works. But then you actually have to play, right? You have to play. So basically, this sort of an assessment like this says, hey, this says I'm actually would be great at golf. It's not a gift, but whatever. You know, I'd be great at golf. But then I actually have to go play golf. I have to pick up the clubs and actually have to play golf, right? I can't just take the test and go, oh, yeah, the test says I'm a golfer. Great. I'm going to walk around for the next 6 months as a golfer. No, you actually have to do it, right? And so what we want to do is we want to figure out ways that you can use your gifts in areas of the church. And so what we're going to do is we're going to follow up with an email. If you're on our email list, we're going to follow you up with an email. We'll put this app on there as well if you didn't do it and you didn't listen to me. That information will be on there so you can do it in the privacy of your home if you like. And then also try to give you some areas where you can actually step into the church and sort of look at, okay, if I have this gift, this fits really well in this ministry in the church. And there's so many areas of the church that you can step into the game. In administration, children's ministry, with our youth, worship, ministry to the poor, entrepreneur, teaching, praying, mentoring, hospitality. There's so many ways that you can use your gifts in this community and get in the game. And so your homework is this. If you don't know what gifts you have, take the test, okay? Take the test and then wait for our email on the edge of your seat, because there's going to be an email coming out and it's going to describe, okay, here's children's ministry. Here are all the giftings that kind of go with children's ministry. Like, they could use all of this in children's ministry. Here are sort of some entrepreneur things that we're thinking about in the church doing. Here are all the ways, all the giftings that go with that, right? And see if you can find a way in and try that on. So does that make sense? Okay. So we're trying to actually do this, okay? That's one of my big things. We actually are doing this. We actually want to transform our lives. We're not just here to talk about it. We are not. We're going to do it. We're getting in the game. We want to do this as a church. And so this gives you some framework by which you can do it. I want to end with just reading a quote. It's a short talk today, but I think it's important. I'm going to end reading this quote from Teddy Roosevelt. And it talks about the difference between trying things and just watching things. He says this, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or whether the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails, why daring greatly, so that this place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Why don't we stand? So, one of the things I'd love for us to do is like, just for you to engage God and ask, you know, how do I join in the arena? God, how would you want me to join in the arena? How would you want me to join in the church, to step in, to get in the game, to be part of this mess, this beautiful thing called church? Because it is a total mess, because there's people in it. There's people in it, so it's going to be messy. Just an FYI, if you go to a church and it's perfect, it's a perfect church. If you go into a church and it's perfect, leave immediately, because you're just going to ruin it. Because you're a mess. We're a mess. We are. We're a mess. Leave. This thing, the mess is beautiful. The mess is beautiful because it's God. It's God's love and it's God's grace. And as we respond today, we're going to respond in a few different ways. And one is, as we pray today, if we're going to have people in the back that will be willing to pray for you, and we'll pray for anything. But a few things that sort of highlighted for me as I was kind of going over this text today is that, you know, for some of you, you don't know what your gifts are, right? You don't know what your gifts are, and you're trying to figure that out. And so we would love to actually pray for gifts for you. Paul says that you can receive gifts through prayer. You can have encounters with God, and he awakens gifts in you. So we would love to pray for that. For others of you, you know what your gifts are, but to be honest with you, you've done this church thing before, right? You know your gifts. You've stepped in. You've been in the game, and you've been hurt. And you've been hurt. The church has hurt you. And you have taken a strategic step back from being in the arena, in the game. And I think God just wants to bring healing to that. He wants to heal that, and he wants to show you gently how you can take another step in and no longer have to be a spectator, to be part of his fullness for you. I think he wants to do that today. The other way that we engage is to worship, and we do that through singing, and we engage God, and not just singing about him, but we're actually in conversation with him through music. And the other act of worship, if this is your church, we do tithes and offerings as an act of worship. In the back, there's a black box, and you can do that there or online. The other way that we engage during this time is communion. And we have a communion table in the back, and you can receive those elements. We have an open table. If you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to take those elements, and you bring them back and take them as you see fit. Make sense? Yeah? All right. Let's worship.